Dear God, we come in name, the name that's above all names. Thank you, Lord. That name that is so powerful. I thank you, Lord. That name of Jesus. And Lord, again, you so assured us that you're here, not because of emotion, Lord, but because we are gathered in your name. Praise God. And there's no other name in heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. Thank you for that name, Lord. Thank you that we can call upon it. Thank you that it's here today. Lord, again, we just so thankful that you've brought us here. It says that only we can seek you as if you draw us. And thank you, you've called us worthy to come in here today to hear your word. Lord, help us to open our hearts in fullness to receive it all. Our confidence is in you today. We ask that your spirit just have free reign here. May we see again the beauty of the Lord all over this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You turn with me today. We're going to go back again to chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8. As I mentioned last week, the Lord's just been so gripping my heart with the thought of the power that is given to us with the Holy Ghost. And that power is such a wondrous and important part, obviously, of our growth in the Lord. But as our pastor so encouraged us many times, if we just have truth or fundamental in our life, we will dry up. If we just have Pentecost or the Holy Spirit in our life, we blow up. But with both of them, in moderation, all things, in the love of God, all things, we grow up. So wondrous and so true. But in that verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power." Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, last week we explored the power of the vision. And I'm convinced that the power of the vision is truly the beginning of seeing the fullness, experiencing the fullness of power that the Holy Ghost gives to a life that is yielded to Him. But today the Lord has encouraged me on and us on to delve into the power of the Holy Ghost in ministry and in testimony. And as last week, we'll begin a little bit with some of the Old Testament. Over and over throughout His Word, throughout the Old Testament, the Word clearly reveals that if we desire boldness, if we desire testimony, if we are desiring any type of a stand for the things of God, it can only really happen. A stand for the things of God truly and only can really happen when a life is empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we'll turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And this is where we'll begin some of this study today. Verses 1 and verses 6. Now this is when Saul, the first king of Israel, is anointed to be king. And as was the ceremony that Samuel was going to do the anointing, was the priest was anointing the oil or the Holy Spirit upon this life. And it said in verse 1, chapter 10, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head." This is upon the head of Saul. "And kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" And then in the 6th verse we read, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Hallelujah. And it says later in that 9th verse that it says that God even gave him another heart, gave him a new heart. Hallelujah. This wonderful representation again of the Holy Ghost, the joy that we can truly have when the Spirit of God in victory is pulsing through our bodies. Hallelujah. It's just like Brother Hill used to say so many times about that peach, how he'd bring out that peach all the time. He says, "Tell me what a peach tastes like." Well, you think about it. Well, you got to taste it. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to enter into these things of God. It's either unbelief or belief with Him. As Precious Chris was talking to me in the office here before the study, The provisions have been made. The promises are there. Nothing in your life is that way. It really isn't. You have to earn it. You have to develop it. You have to do all of these things. Those promises of God are there for you. Will we lay hold of that power that's there for us in belief, in belief, in belief? Thank you, Jesus. But it's like that peach, to taste it again and again and again. And that's the fullness that can be developed in our life. And it's that wondrous joy and power of the revelation of the things of God that can be seen, and that can only be seen when the Holy Spirit is encouraging that in your life. When we're dwelling in that power, what vision again, and what testimony, as we'll see today by the grace of God. Now Saul again, he was anointed with the oil, and it says here that he prophesied. He brought the word in boldness to the people. He became a new man. Now, the Word of God tells us that we became a new creation when we accepted Christ. We're new. But there's even another newness with the Holy Spirit. And it's daily. My salvation's new every day. There's a joy that you see. There's a wanting, there's a yearning for the things of God in your life that nothing can satisfy but Him. Let it be all over us. Let it free us here. Let us just dwell in that love of God that He has and the provision that's right before us. But again, this was Saul. King Saul, as ones that know the Word of God and those that are studying to know the Word of God, it was precious. He got the anointing, but you know what? He didn't hold it dear, and he lost the anointing. It didn't mean that he lost heaven. He was still a child of God. He was still seen later on there in that vision of the witch in Endor as Samuel came to him and said, well, tomorrow you and your son are going to be right with me here. And I'll tell you what, there's one place that Samuel was, and that was in heaven, in Upper Sheol. And we can go on, but captivity led that captive. And if Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, which that's what the Word of God says, you're with Him. Hallelujah. Isn't that precious? Thank you, Lord, that we know where we are in Him. But again, the anointing was taken away from him. But David's anointing in 1 Samuel 16:13, just turn over to the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 13th verse. This is King David, the next king. Then Samuel again, the same anointer. And it truly is the same anointer, isn't it? It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the one that's going to anoint you with this Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit does the anointing, or you're never going to get it. It's not by an emotional thing. It's not something that's worked up. It's not something that comes of us. It's a power. Hallelujah. And it's heavenly. Hallelujah. And that's what this wonderful Holy Spirit is for in our life, is to give us this unleashed power to be able to see the deep things of God. But again, David had the anointing. And what does it say here in that 13th verse? Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. It never left him. And again, we talk about David's life. Saul was a good man. He was goodly. David was godly. But David got himself in some awful, wicked sin. Bathsheba, the killing of Uriah, all of those things. But even here, God promised it was never going to leave him. Why? Because he knew the heart of David. He knew that he wanted the heart of God. It wasn't anything of himself, as I was talking to that man yesterday. Well, this is the only thing that's working for me. Well, that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be, in yourself. And you may be able to get by, but you're not going to get godly that way. You're not going to reap the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You're not going to live the victory that's in Christ. You're not going to live the praises of amen and yay and thank you, Jesus, you're taking me on. Thank you, God, for this, that we see these things. But the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, it never left him. It continued in his ministry. It continued to allow him to prophesy. And look at what's edified in his life, the book of Psalms. Look at all those psalms. The singing, the rejoicing heart. And you know, you got to get low to get that sometimes. You got to be a complete failure to get that sometimes. And then they come in here and they say, well, see, Jess, you're just preaching failure. You're preaching sin. You're preaching you should do this. No. Live the complete grace of God in your life. But He allows things. Some things happen. Don't live in defeat. Sometimes the most precious thing that you can ever have is when He completely gets you lower than low. All we can look is up. And just like the prodigal son that was out there in the world, just a glance, just a look to the kingdom, and there he was, clothing him, giving him rewards, giving him everything that he had. It wasn't anything about what that son did. It was about how the Father loved him. And God so loved us, He gave His Son. And we need to rest in that it is finished. And may we understand that this prophesying that Saul, that David did, it's merely giving out the word of truth, the counsel of God, enriching others in the Scriptures. It's not telling me about what's going to be in the paper headlines tomorrow. See how people get off on those types of things? It's not about that. It's about telling me who I can be by the grace of God. It's about telling me that, you know what, by His grace, I can sit in the throne room with Him. It's about telling me that I can go boldly right now to the throne of grace. And you know that throne of grace? I got the Father right there. And on the right hand of the Father is His Son, and He's right there. And all the Son is doing, all my precious Jesus is doing, is telling Him all day long how much He loves me. He's there making intercession for me 24/7. No matter what's happened, He's there telling Him how much He loves me, how much He loves you. Man, do you know how much this Christ loves you? Whoa. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. But prophesying is the ultimate gift to the church, it says. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. This is what we're doing today. See, we're encouraging one another in the Word of God. Awesome. This is what this assembly, again, is truly about. Rightfully dividing the Word of truth. To show thyself approved unto God. The Holy Spirit is the one that can reveal what the mystery of these ages are about. This age is about. The Word of God tells us there's a mystery here. Daniel wanted to see it. He wanted to open that, but it wasn't for him. It was kept back. He says, it's not for you. I got to get my comforter out there, man. I got to get that comforter out there. I'm going to release him on you guys and you're going to have the fullness. If you want to enter in again. The mystery of the age. We're in the church age right now, folks. We're not in kingdom age. Nuh-uh. I don't want to be in kingdom age. I want to be in church age. Amen. Talked about a bride. There's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's one star that differeth from another in glory. There's the ones on the throne. There's the ones before the sea, on the sea of glass. There's the ones that have palms in their hand. It's over and over and over in the Word of God. And it's all because of love. This isn't an elitist thing we're talking about here. We're not talking about we're better than somebody because we did something special. Just because we're here, we don't have Christ cornered in any way. This is the love of God. This is for everybody. He wanted all men to be saved. God loved this world so much that He gave His Son. He said, I love the world so much, I'm going to give my Son to you guys. And whosoever believeth in Him will have everlasting life. He's not a respecter of persons. Don't get to thinking just because you're in America or somebody in Africa or wherever it may be can't receive the things of God. I'm going to talk about a dear brother friend of mine that didn't know really anything about the things of God. And he's been ministering to me about the last week like very few people have ever ministered to me in my life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I'll tell you. What we have right into the bride of Christ. But we're about getting to know Jesus. And I mean really getting to know Jesus, you know. His ways past finding out, His love beyond measure, His faithfulness is unending. That's who loves you. That's who loves us. You don't think anybody loves you? Who cares? Don't matter. The I Am loves you. Alpha Omega loves you. I mean, oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Praise God who we are in Him. But the oil is always poured out before the message. It's even more basic than that. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:3. A lot of people sometimes pass this up. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can even say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost even has to deal with you about being saved, doesn't He? I appreciate so much being a little guy. He said, okay, now the Holy Ghost knocking on the door of your heart. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all I had to do is say, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. And then the Lord came right in. Okay? Amen. That's precious. All those disciples had that, didn't they? Amen. But then the Comforter come in a different way. He said, He's been with you. He shall be in you. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. The power that got into them at that time. The Holy Spirit is the joy, it says in the Word of God. He brings the joy because He brings Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Think about what that joy is. And as I submit, as I yield my life to Him, that joy is all over me. Because I'm in the presence of the joy. And the Holy Spirit reveals that joy to me. And I can understand what the joy that was set before Him was me. That He endured the pain of the cross was because of me. It's awesome. You know, speaking to Dwayne and Linda, you lose words. We've just been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But again, getting back to this testimony and this ministry, the Holy Spirit even gives us utterance, doesn't He? It says in the Word of God. He tells you what to say. He'll tell you when to say it. And how to say it, it's always in love. It's always in that joy. We trust in Him and lean on His leading. And He'll give us the boldness that it talks about. I appreciated how David brought that out. He says, He enlarged my steps. He enlarged my steps, not me. He did. And you know what? That power that He gives you as He's enlarging your steps, it'll shock you sometimes. It downright scares me sometimes because it's not me. He strengthens my new man. Oh, I'm just amazed at what God can do. And again, how He just brings those in your life to give out the fullness of love to. You have ministry. Believe it or not, you have a ministry. We're going to talk more about that, but you do. You don't have to be a teacher of a class. You don't have to be a preacher. Those types of things. You have a ministry. You have a responsibility with God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. And this is the power that's revealed all the way through the book of Acts. We're going to go back to Acts. We're going to read a little portion here, a little lengthy portion. Chapter 2. We're going to start in the first verse. This is the day of Pentecost. This is after Christ went to be with God. He left. Comforter's loose. He's here. And He was there. Hallelujah. This is the first time those were ever going to be filled in this with the Holy Ghost, and the evidence of speaking in tongues was all over them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Notice there was true unity of the Spirit there. Hallelujah. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or all these different tongues. Tongues of men and angels it talks about. Might be a different language. And we're going to talk about different languages. I didn't realize what wonderful. Like as a fire, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans?" These were unlearned men. These were, as you'll go on to say, these were dummy fishermen and all that, just like me. "And how hear ye every man in our own tongue, wherein you were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in and around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians? We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." See, I'm just going to tell you, you're either going to believe it, it's going to hit you in the face. Christ is everywhere. He's in nature. He's everywhere. You're without excuse. And this is how it will happen. They'll either believe or they won't. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. But your heart should ache for them. Pray for them. Pray for ones that don't know the Lord. Pray for ones that are bothering you. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. I'm talking to myself. I hope you understand that. This is just the Lord talking here. I'm with you. As I've told my wife many times, it's out-of-body experience. It truly is. I am a participant listening to the things of God. I want to be an open vessel and say, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Let's get the Word of God out there and minister to me." Praise you. Praise you, Lord. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, 'You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, by this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day.'" It's too early. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.'" We're in that time. He's going to pour out his spirit on all the flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke." This is bringing us all the way into the tribulation here. I hope you understand that. That's why I say, look at this portion of Scripture. You'll have people say, "Well, tongues was just for that time." Read the Word of God. Read it. What does it say? I don't care what man is telling me. I don't care whatever other books. I do care what other books they have. It really wasn't finished, but this really isn't an add to the Bible. But here's another 1,000 pages that'll tell you how to live your life. "Whoever adds or takes away, so shall the plagues be to them of Egypt." Do they realize what they're dealing with? This is God. This is His Word. This is Christ who became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with the Word. And I hope you understand, when you get that in you, and it's not to walk around being cocky or anything like that, but don't mess with God's anointed. Don't go there. You're the apple of His eye. It says in the Word of God, you are the apple of His eye. As our pastor used to say, go ahead, stand there. Let me try to stick a hot poker in the apple of your eye. Well, you ain't going to stand there. You're going to do everything you can, fight, squirm, whatever, to get that thing not to get there. Well, we're dealing with God. And I'm the apple of His eye. You're the apple of His eye. If you're a child of God today, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're there. You're immediately there. You're a son of God. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Read the Word of God. Know the power that you have. Know the stability that you have. You say, "Well, I'm a flake. I don't care." God's not. It don't work that way. "Well, I dwell in fear." Well, perfect love casts out all fear. The Lord knows. Hallelujah. Learn to lean upon that understanding. If we ever get through this today. Hallelujah. "And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into the darkness, and the moon into the blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, hallelujah. They were even filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at the resounding message. It convicted these people. They were pierced to the heart. The awesome power of the Holy Spirit. Those that were in attendance had to take note of this thing. They noticed what was going on. Tongues, it says in the Word of God, are a sign to them that believe not. Holy Spirit, come upon you. Let it go. I'm not saying make it fleshly. We don't want strange stuff. We don't want strange fire. More importantly, God don't want that. I know that the Lord has filled me at certain times, and I didn't think anybody was there, and there were people there, and it convicted them. Okay? Now, this is God, guys. I'm not worrying about what man's thinking out there. You get to know me very well. Even if you are Christian, sometimes you say, this guy's a little bit, he's half-cocked somewhere or another. And where is he coming from? Well, I'm coming from the Lord. I love the Lord. And I didn't do anything to get it. I just believe it. And he'll give it to you. Hallelujah. And I just want to continue to be filled with that Holy Ghost to give that awesome power as those that were in that attendance. Praise God. But what a cloud of witness, it says, that surrounds us. What a cloud of witness. And we are in this mighty age. It's all around us, isn't it? It's all over us. And more importantly, it's in us because Christ went to be with the Lord and went to be with God, his Father. Isn't that precious? Yeah. Yeah, he saved us. He died on that cross to save us. That was precious. But he left so we could have all truth. Oh, hallelujah. To know that we can enter into that kind of fellowship with I am is, well, you lost me there. But thank God he's given me that heart to believe it. And if we'll allow this power to take control, you know what happens? Mighty things happen in a life, don't they? Oh, mighty things happen. And the mightiest of all things is that we can be now groomed and grow up into all truth. That's the great miracle. You're not going to marry somebody you don't know. You're not going to marry somebody you don't know. I need to know him. We need to know him. It says those Jews in the wilderness, it said they knew his acts. They knew the acts of God. But Moses took it a step further, didn't he? He says, I know the way of God. I know the way. This is the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by this. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that we know this. But prophesying again is giving out the word of God. Wonders, signs, calling on the name of the Lord, and being in the presence of God. Because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. We know he's on the horizon. We look at the things he gave us. He said, when you see these things starting to come to pass, look up. Look up, look up, look up, look up. And I so appreciate our pastor because one of the last things he said to many of us up there, look up, look up, look up. See, I start looking across at you or me, we're going to get discouraged. I pray and I'm so thankful that as the Lord called me to do this, you guys weren't looking at me. Because I would have seen a bunch of freaked out people in here. Because they'd say, well, he's a good kid, but that ain't going to get it, is it? It ain't. Uh-uh. And you really don't know. You don't know me, but God knows me. And more importantly, it's what God wants to make of a life and what he wants to put on you. And when he comes down and he comes in you, you're new. You're new. You're new. You are absolutely brand new. Hallelujah. And I want to be new every day in him. This is the power that happens right from the start. Again, these were unlearned men, nobodies, just like you and me. But then the Holy Spirit came. But then the Holy Spirit came. And he hit them. And they spoke with the tongues of men and angels in boldness. And these tongues are the signs of is the sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just going to give you the verses, and I pray that you would just go back and look at them. And I'm sure most of you know them. But again, the sign of being filled, the evidence of, is speaking in tongues. Acts 4:31. So we read it here in Acts 2, but in Acts 4:31, it says they were filled and the place was shaken. Well, how could that place be shaken? How could that place be shaken if there weren't tongues going on? Now, you can either receive that or you can deny that. Okay? Acts 8:14 through 18. Peter praying with those Samaritans. And there was Simon. He was looking at him, didn't he? Remember Simon? He came and brought money. He says, "Oh, I got to buy that stuff. That looks good to me." Well, was it just the laying on of hands that he saw when they received the Holy Spirit? There had to be an evidence. There had to be a sign. There had to be tongues. Okay? This is so important. This is a pivotal truth. This is talking about being able to be led into all truth. Okay? These are the evidences that happen in the Word of God, and man will make slight of it. Oh, well, you're saved. You've received the Holy Ghost. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Man doesn't want to hear that. Most of Christianity doesn't want to hear that. But I was sharing with my precious brother in there. Hasn't been a brother in the Lord for very long. I'm thankful that he sees that it really is the truth. What does the Word of God say? Not what I think, not what, well, it makes sense to me. Man will always let you down. Don't put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. I don't need that type of thinking. This is the positive thinking. This is the mind of Christ. This is Christ. Thank you, Lord. Acts 10:44 through 46. The Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles, it says. Now, I'm so thankful it fell on us Gentiles, didn't it? Hallelujah. And you know what? It fell on the Jews as well. But obviously it came over to the Gentiles. Italians, Mexicans, Africans, didn't matter what it was. Hallelujah. He was all there for us. Thank you, Jesus. And what did they do? They spoke with other tongues. Acts 19:1-6. Even more clear than that. And I love how the Word of God just keeps going over and over and over. It says they were saved. And it says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we haven't even heard of this thing. But they were believers. Well, they were believers that hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It didn't change. It didn't. Those disciples that were with Christ, they were saved. They called him Lord. Peter even said, oh, Lord, you know I love you. Huh? But he didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. He was saved. But then the infilling came. Then that was the ability to be led into all truth. And I hope for those that might be here, that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. This isn't a condemning thing. Please don't. Take this as that. This is the Word of God. There's nothing condemning here. It's just encouragement. If you allow it to apply to your life, if you reject this stuff, if you reject Christ, yeah, there is a condemnation. You betcha. Yep, real clear. Hell's a bad place, lake of fire. I don't even want to go there. It's beyond. God prepared it. Did. Amen. So, this is an encouragement thing to you. Hallelujah. But saved and filled, and what did they do after that? They even prophesied. Over and over, the proof is here that tongues are the sign of the infilling. I'm going to talk about my dear brother just for a moment. Talked about him a little bit on Friday, and for those that didn't know what happened here. Last Sunday at morning at church, we're through. I was back in my office. And little Stevie DeWitt brings me back a note. He says, man, this guy just ran out of here. Looked a little panicky, and he just handed me a note. Matter of fact, I have this note. Got it right here. I don't think I'll ever let go of this note. It meant a lot to me. And it said, how do I get saved and get this Holy Spirit? My name is Didymus. I won't give you his phone number. Y'all start calling him. I love that man. More importantly, God loves him. But handed me that. Well, you know, things were going on. I don't mean to be too busy about whatever, but, you know, the Lord had me doing some things and all. And boy, it got late in the day. It was about 6:40, and we're going to start service. And the Lord had me glance down at that piece of paper. I said, just call that young man. Just call him. I didn't know it was a young man. I didn't know who it was. I knew it was a man. Didn't know how old he was. Just call him. So I thought, okay, Lord, we're going to call him. So 6:40, we call him. And I said, well, you know, how'd you get over here today? He said, well, you know, I was really angry and something just told me to go to church. He said he was driving, drove by a few churches. And I think I mentioned to you, I think he said he saw a few of those coming in and out of a church. And they were dressed pretty nice. He said, they're a little uptight for me. So he came to the Schlocky one, I said, you know. He saw. But the Lord brought him in here. And he said, you know, I sat over here. He sat in the back. He said, I saw something over the people. He said, I saw something all over these people, but it wasn't over me. It wasn't over me. And he said, I wanted that. And the Lord had us go right to the book of John. Right to the book of John. And then about 5-10 minutes, that man gave his heart to the Lord. It's precious. Awesome. I was thinking, praise God. That's just incredible. And you know, when you witness to people sometimes you don't know. You know, sometimes you know they didn't. You know, and then sometimes you just don't know if they did or really did or whatever. And that's between them and God anyways. This one, Lord, sovereignly, I knew that young man accepted the Lord. And I said, well, you got a Bible? I said, man, I've never read a Bible. I don't have a Bible. Whatever. I said, you know, why don't you come on down here tonight? Come on down here. You'll be a little bit late. I'll get you a Bible and all that. So on Sunday nights, it's precious. A lot of the other brothers come up and give a message. And tonight we'll have precious brother Ray Quintana. And I encourage you to be here, 7 o'clock. But I was handing over the meeting to Ty. And so right as I was doing that, I saw him walk back in the back. So I run over, you know, just get my office, get my Bible, grab a Bible. And we had Bibles all over the place, but isn't that a great way to be? And went back to the back. And there, we sat down to him. I said, you Didymus? He said, yep. I said, I'm Jesse. Yep, nice to meet you. We sat down. That was it. So then we listened to Ty. And it was so sweet because Ty hadn't even got done preaching. And he turned to me and says, I want that Holy Spirit. You know, it was just like I said. It was just like if I was a store clerk, you know, I want the pack of gum. I want the Coke. You know, I want the Holy Spirit. It was so definite. And I turned to him and I said, man, you're kind of greedy. I said, you haven't even been saved an hour. And but you know, that's exactly what God's looking for. And what a witness it's been. And again, we're not magnifying a person by any means. Absolutely not. We're glorifying God in life. Because whether it's my flesh, yours, or his, or whatever it is, it's flesh and it'll always fail. But the Spirit's willing in it. Hallelujah. And God knows a heart that's going to be open to him. So long, and the story's a little bit long, but we'll keep going here. But I said, okay, well, the Lord just encouraged us to go into John. Got to refresh just a little bit, you know, about, you know, here's what he even did in John 3 about asking the Lord into your life and everything. It was awesome. Then we got into about, again, this Holy Spirit, about these evidence and what the Holy Spirit really means and about being able to be led into all truth, that this was for this time and that the Comforter would come and he's here and he's all over the place. Then I turned to him. I said, well, you want to go pray? Yep, let's go pray. And I said, well, we're going to go down to the altar. And I just remember kind of when I said that, I was thinking, you know, I don't think he understands what an altar is except maybe for sacrifice. So I didn't know if we thought we were going to sacrifice him or whatever. But here we go walking down, about halfway done, and most people are out of here. And there was sweet Joe DeMont, and the Lord just had him on my heart. And I said, hey, Joe, would you go tarry with this this man? He wants to with us and receive the Holy Ghost, you know? He says, oh, yeah, man, that's great. Let's go. So here we go, marching down here, and there's Judy. I didn't had asked her, but there she was. She wasn't going to miss out on that kind of treat. And I'll tell you, it was precious because that was an awesome time. But so we start praying, and I remember, you know, Didymus just kind of had his head down and kind of just looked at him and I said, you know, all you do is just tell the Lord you love him. And it's okay to say it out loud. You know, we're not trying to do anything here. Just tell the Lord you love him. So we start just praising the Lord. It's wonderful. About a minute, I left him because the Holy Spirit came on me. So I was gone. So that was about it. So I just worshiping the Lord, having a wonderful time. And I don't know, a few minutes later, the Lord just had me stop, put my hand on him. And the Lord just spoke that verse. And it just said that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And bam, it hit him. And it just poured out of his life. And it was so precious. It was awesome. And just the speaking in tongues. And it was beautiful. And it was wonderful. But then it started happening. I'm going to tell you. It just, well, that the real happening again is that that man now has the ability, that soul has the ability to be led into all truth. That's the miracle. I hope you understand that. But I'll share something just precious with you. Again, is my uncle John said, these are affirmations for you, son. God loves you, and he wants to affirm that the Lord's really working things. Sometimes you might be a little bit low, but you know what? He always just gives you that. Whew. Mr. Second Wind, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But so just speaking with tongues, and I think he went on for a good 10 minutes. It was precious. And then he stopped. And we were just all just thanking Jesus for it and everything. And he looked at me, and I remember just kind of holding my wrist. He says, do you know Greek? I thought, oh man, it's getting weird now. What's he going to, you know, do to me? I've been out there too, buddy, and I've seen some weird stuff. But he says, no, do you know Greek? And I just looked at him. I said, no, I don't know Greek. He says, you spoke perfect Greek to me. And he says, and then he stopped himself. He said, no. He said, you spoke perfect ancient Greek to me. And he says, and here's what you said. He said, told you to close my eyes and to close my mouth, not to fear, and to speak from the heart. God's here. Not because of us, but that power is here. Do you know that? How many affirmations do we have to have? And I'm going to tell you a little bit more of that story. He said to me too. He said, you know, my mother dropped me off at an orphanage when I was 10 years old. I haven't seen her since. And that's the last thing she said to me. Son, close your eyes and close your mouth. You want power? I hope we're seeking this power. Hallelujah. It is so awesome. So, so real. But that's our dear brother. And I pray you don't just mob him, but just show them the love of God, because it's here. That's what this place is about. God's good to us, isn't he? Hallelujah. I'll try to hurry this up a little bit. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:39, it said, forbid not to speak with tongues. It was not just for then, but for the whole church age. And why? Again, so we could be led into all truth. That was the great miracle in this young person's life, was the ability to be led into all truth. It's miraculous to know that, hey, I can speak Greek via the Holy Spirit. But all truth, that's what Christ wants to put in your life. Oh God, thank you. And it says in the Word of God, you know, how much more clear? 1 Corinthians 14:18. There was the Apostle Paul, who it says that we're to follow him as he followed Christ. Again, he says, forbid not to speak with tongues. 14:18, he says, and he was glad that he spoke in tongues more than they all. There's something about this. There's something to covet here. There's something to want this for our lives, because it's a joyous state of a continued infilling of the Holy Ghost. And that's critical to the deep things of God and understanding those, isn't it? If you really want the zeal for the things of God, if you want zeal, if you feel flat, and that's the point there, it's feel, it's faith, it's faith. This isn't a feeling trip, it's faith. But you want zeal for the things of God, you got to get the Holy Spirit. And that's just not a one-time event. It's the inflowing, it's the infilling, it's a continued way of life. If you think that your life doesn't have a real testimony, you need to get the Holy Spirit. Amen. More boldness, more strength in standing for Christ, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's a promise, as we read there. It really is a promise. A promise unto us and our children in Acts 2:39. It said, and all we have to do to get it is to call on his name. Just believe him and let God do it. And I appreciate, you know, talk about a witness. You know, I'm someone, I'm thankful. I've grown up in the things of God in a sense. I don't ever, as I told you, I don't ever really remember the moment that I gave my heart, my life to Christ. It was young. I just knew Jesus growing up. my brother in Christ of the last week has been witnessing to me. And I'm thankful that I'm open, because you know why? It's not him. It's the Spirit of God in him that can witness to me things that are just marvelous. I mean, it's just I won't even go there. Can't explain that one. You get there and only on the other side he can tell me that. But I remember asking after he gave his life over and allowed the Holy Spirit to come into him. I said, you know, this is by grace now. Just like what happened, you know, this is just the beginning. It only gets better. But it is just like what happened here. It's all by grace. It's a gift. It was undeserved. I said, okay, how did you get saved? He says, well, I believed God. And I remember, word for word, I said, okay, and then how did you get filled? He says, well, I let God. And I thought, man, there'd be people sitting in this place all their life. Believe God, let God. 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 Right into the throne room. Right into the throne room. And that's it. There's simplicity in the gospel. Do you understand? That's it. And it didn't take years to see that. It can take years to believe that. Just a moment of opening. Get out of unbelief, as we've been reading in Hebrews, right? Get out of there. Get out of condemnation. Get out of judgment. Get out of those things. And get over in belief in the power of God that can work something in your life that'll be the marvel of marvels. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 4 says that Peter got the power as he spoke to those Sanhedrin. He wasn't denying Christ anymore as when he did when the rooster crowed those three times. And just think, Christ was there with him when he was doing that, wasn't he? But he didn't do that anymore here. Christ wasn't physically with him anymore, but the Holy Ghost was all over him. And in power, by the Holy Ghost, he boldly said, I love God. And he said, there is none other name under heaven. Boy, let that speak to you and your friends or people you come in contact with. There's not many paths to God here, guys. There isn't. There's one way. There's one mediator. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, not a way. I am the way. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus. Jesus. What power in that name, Jesus. Hallelujah. But again, this Peter, it gave him that power. This is where the Sanhedrin, this was the judicial governing council that could imprison him, get him to be put to death, all of those things. And yet he was giving him this kind of witness. And they saw it and they marveled at him. And they took note of the knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was the first time that they really took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. You want to really get with Jesus? Is it any more clear? You've got to get the Holy Spirit all over your life. Man, he's seeking the worshiper. I got to close this off. We're going to go on way too long. But he's speaking to the worshiper. He says, I'm looking for the worshiper that's going to worship me in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, man. What are we thinking about today? When we're here in this meeting together, what are we thinking about? I remember sitting out there. There's no difference in me standing up here. Where is my mind? Let it be fixed on Jesus. Let us want to have that deep fellowship with Him. We've heard this message for so long. Lord, let it work effectually in our lives, that we be well pleasing to You. But this is our benefit. This is all for our benefit, to grow up into Him. Don't waste that. Don't waste that calling. Get out of unbelief. Get out of defeat. get into the victory that's in Christ. To know that He's loved us. It says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You don't have enough love for your brother. You don't love everybody. You're not allowing the Holy Ghost to lead your life. And again, going back, just connect the dots. I've always loved that. I can connect the dots. The dots with Christ are big dots. I need love. Well, the love of God shed abroad through the Holy Ghost. Okay? He's going to shed that love. Well, what is that love? Well, it's Christ. And what does that Holy Ghost do again? He leads me into all truth. So He's going to give me more truth. Which, what's truth? Well, it's the Word. Well, what's the Word? It became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord said to my Lord. You know that portion of Scripture? The Lord said to my Lord. That was God talking to my Lord. Do you know who Jesus is? I mean, really know who Jesus is? He wants to build you up. He wants to put a name on you. His name. His bridal name. He's calling to us. He's calling to us. And it's power. And it's a power of ministry. It's a power of ministry. It's a power of testimony. It's a power that will change your life. It's a power that will change your life. I pray that we would receive that promise today. If you haven't received it, if you've received it but you're not dwelling in it, ask the Lord to reveal the need. Because it's a need. You've got to be a needy person. My brother, he realized there was something missing. And you know what? I want to realize every single day that I need Him. That I need that feeling. That I need that empowerment of His love. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we just thank You for this. The love of Jesus. I just am so thrilled with You, Lord. Thank You for being present here today, Lord. Let this just work effectually into our lives, Lord. Again, Your Spirit's here. Convict the heart. Help us to make the move. Into belief, into belief, into belief. In Jesus' name.